Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. Streaming Plus License, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless, from the Haven of Hope Church.
God ordains a lot of things in our paths. And in Psalm 139, we find the Lord speaking and saying that He even knows who we are before we were ever conceived in the womb. That right there shoots the abortionist theories right in the head. If God knew who we were before we were conceived, then you got to worry about when a heartbeat starts now, do we? Because God knew us before. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Would you stretch your hands this way and pray for me today? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I am your vessel. Use me today, dear God, in whatsoever way you desire. I am willing, dear God, to be led in whatever direction you want me to go. And Father, I lift your name up and magnify you and thank you, dear God, for giving me the opportunity to stand before this holy desk. I ask, dear God, for your anointing upon this message that as it goes forward, it might go up, dear God, into the universe, and that it might glorify and uplift the name of Jesus in heaven and in your throne room. And that it might be pleasing in your sight and in your ears, dear God, and it might be a praise that goes up into your nostrils, dear God, from the incense burner on the altar of God in the throne room. Let it glorify you. Let the word go out today, dear God, and let it perform the work for which you have ordained it, that it might reach out to souls and change lives and change souls, dear God. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said, you can be seated. I can remember my mom and dad, when they first got married, they attended my mamaw's church. She was a pastor. Hurricane Hazel, I've heard me mention her before. My dad, after my mamaw moved, my dad was in the church really strong with another pastor. And they were solid in church, and something happened in that service, in that church, between Dad and the pastor, and Dad left the church. But before they did, an evangelist had come to Mamaw's services. And mom had not announced to anyone that she was 3 months pregnant. And during the revival, the evangelist went to her during a Holy Ghost filled service. The Holy Ghost fell on the service. And he went to her and told her that the Lord had told him to have her anoint that baby and to dedicate him to the Lord. That was me. And they did that. Well, I was less than 2 years old when my dad backslid on God. And when dad backslid, he took mom with him. And they left the church for a number of years. We only went to church on Easter and Mother's Day. And sometimes Christmas when we would travel to where they lived. Because Mama always had churches way out there. I'm talking about Black Mountain, you know, Mayadan, Rock Hill, you know, long ways off. But we would only go to church then. And the only time I ever got any kind of biblical feeding was when we would go to church on those two or three times a year. But when I was 6 years old, well, 7 years old, we lived two blocks from the school. And I was in kindergarten. And I would walk to kindergarten. You could do that 50 years ago. Lord have mercy. 50 years ago. Hush up, Bob. Methuselah over there talking to the kettle.
Okay, I remember that.
I was walking to church. I would walk to school every day, and I didn't know it, but I was having conversations with God every day. I mean, I was talking. Something was coming into my mind, and I was talking back. I was, you know, having the conversation. And the Lord was showing me different things that I was going to be doing. And I was, you know, to me it was like a comic book playing out, you know. And I was watching all those things, and I had no idea it was going to happen. And we didn't get, Mom and Dad didn't get back into church. Mom didn't get back into church until I was 18 years old, which means I didn't. And I got back into church about a year after that. When I was driving down the highway one late night, and the Lord spoke to me from the back of my car. Which scared the bejeebies out of me. And I got out of that car. And it was dark at night, Sunday night. And I got out of the car and I looked. There wasn't nobody in the car. Then it spoke again. And which scared me because I was standing there looking. And when he spoke the third time, I said, God? And he said, I want you to minister to youth and children. I want you to minister to young people. And I decided right then that the best thing for me to do if I was going to be a preacher was I needed to get saved. There's a whole lot of preachers need to hear that. if you're going to be a preacher, the first thing you need to be is be a child of God. You need to be saved. You need to be walking by what thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Brother Mac, why did you tell us all that? I told you all that because we were talking about it earlier this morning. In Sunday school, we was talking about Mary. Why was Mary different than Elizabeth when they were both together as the meeting of the mothers? While they were both together, they were both pregnant with godly children. Why was Mary's different than Elizabeth? Well, because Elizabeth had knowledge with her husband to have that baby. Mary had never been with a man. Her baby was from God. And some people said, well, what must Mary have been like for God? Why did God choose Mary? Because Mary was upright and honorable before God. She was devout. Now, that lends the question. Does God choose people that live upright and holy before him? Or does he ordain people to live upright and holy before him? And the thing of it is, my Bible says in Psalm 139, I knew you before you were born in your mother's, before you were conceived in your mother's womb in secret. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Right. He ordained, and God set things in motion from before time began. He laid out a timeline. Because the Bible says that Jesus was slain from the foundations of the world. You know what that means? Before time started, God decided that Jesus was going to be a sacrifice for our sins. Jesus was slain before time started. God laid out the timeline. And when he laid out the timeline, he had it all planned out exactly the way it was going to happen. Things that were going to come to pass. And then he said, start. And it started. And you could almost look at the timeline. You look at the Bible, the way God said things were going to be, and the way things were happening, and the things that he prophesied. Everything that was prophesied in the Old Testament took place in the New Testament. And everything that's been prophesied in the New Testament is coming or has come to pass. I know of a surety that the word that God gave me in a vision and a prophecy back in 1985 is coming to pass this very moment. As I'm standing before you, I'm living the last part of that prophecy. And you know what the last part of that prophecy was? He said, when you get to the end of the road, talking about my ministry, when you get to the end of the road, stand there and wait for me. Now, let me lay something out for you. As a youth pastor, you got no stability, because you go to a church and your job is at the mercy of the senior pastor. As a pastor, if something happens to me here and I had to leave, I call the state overseer and he'd find me another church. But as a youth pastor, if something happened to my job, I was out in the cold. And I was a youth and children's pastor for 27 years. Found myself out in the cold right many times. As a matter of fact, the longest length I ever stayed at a church was 3.5 years as a youth pastor. The longest I'd stayed anywhere was 3.5 years. My last pastorate was 3.5 years. But here in about 3 weeks, I'll be standing on 10 years at this church. Do you know why that is? Because the Lord told me when I got to the end of my road to stand there and wait for him. And I'm thanking God. Let me tell you, I'm going to stop right here just preaching. I'm going to just unload a little exhortation on you. I'm so grateful to the Lord that he decided to let me stand in this church. Because we, Sister Renee and I and Pastor Sarah, we have always said, ain't never in 38 years of ministry been anywhere like this. And we don't ever want to go anywhere. We love this place. Amen. We love it here. We love you. And you know what? One of the reasons we don't want to go anywhere is because you love us. So there, I've done that exhortation. But what I'm trying to say to you is God protects our path. I am not here at this church by accident. This is by the divine will and plan of God for me to be here. Now let me flip that table. You're not here by accident either. When the Lord first gave us the name of the church, I had come to this church, and this church had a reputation that was so horrible because of things that had been going on here with other pastors. And not only that, those that knew the reputation of the church, it was a bad one. But for the most part, nobody knew it was a church. There was no church sign, no windows on the church. It was all covered up. There was a bunch of old mobile homes, dilapidated mobile homes sitting on the property, dilapidated farm equipment, animals running around. One pastor was living in the church with his dogs, cats, and chickens in the sanctuary. And this church had a horrible name. I looked up at Sister Brooke. Sister Brooke's like, yes. And if I was to tell you other things, your mouth would go. But this church had a terrible reputation, if any. And I was an advertising major in college, so I knew one thing I had to do was change the name of this church. And I struggled for 3 years. I couldn't find a name that fit the church. I just couldn't find one that fit the church. And I was preaching one Sunday night, and much like now, I didn't have no notes because the Lord changed my message. And I stepped up, and I got right about here. And when I got right about here, God said, this is going to be a haven of hope for the hopeless. And when I said that, it just rang and resonated within my heart. And God said, you've been looking for a name. There it is. Haven of Hope Church. And we have been the Haven of Hope ever since. Now, you know what that means, though? When God told me that this was the Haven of Hope, he also let me know this church spent 17 years with six people in it. And nobody knew it was a church. They weren't, and those six people, Haven of Hope, because of the love that exists in this place, because of the unity that exists here in this place, it is, you, what am I doing? What am I talking about? What are you talking about, Brother Mac? I'm talking about the plan of God. God planned the whole time to send Jesus. God planned the whole time to send him. He sent not his son into it. You ain't going to do it. I'm going to force you into it. And we have got a 35-year-old TV studio. Analog TV studio. Working like brand new on 21 media outlets. We first started live streaming on Facebook, we were getting between 400 and 650 views per service. And Facebook did not like that. They don't like the fact that we were reaching people because they have told me that they have limited my streaming. They have stopped me from being able to tag people. And they told me they did. And they said it was because they didn't like the things I was saying. And they limited us. The first algorithm they added to our live stream cut us down from 650 to 45 people. I found a way around it. 3 weeks later, I found a way around it. We was back up to 650 people watching. Then they figured out what I'd done. Cut us back down to 45. And in a month after that, we were cut down to 12 to 15 views per service. Nothing here changed. The services didn't take a nosedive. As a matter of fact, the services were getting better. And now we're barely able to reach between 25 and 35 people at a time because Facebook stops our stream from getting out to folks. 25 to 35 people. But now we're being broadcast not just on Facebook, but 21 other media outlets that are reaching just as many people. And they ain't limiting us. We ain't got no way of knowing how many people are viewing or being ministered to from the anointing of God that's flowing into this service and flowing out through the multimedia ministries. Brother Kevin's got an exceptional job in there, don't he? Praise God. But look what God has done. We are, and the whole reason, I know the whole reason he's doing it, is because we're not the only church in the world that was forced into live streaming during the pandemic. Every church and its youth pastor started live streaming then. Never before has the word been going out into the world as it is today. And when this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the entire world, then shall the end come. That's why I'm standing here in this church at the end of that vision God gave me. This is where my ministry will end, no doubt. No doubt. I've been offered churches and I ain't going. No, I ain't going. I ain't going nowhere. This is home. I'm going to go to heaven from here. Thank you, sir. We are also at the end of the road here, too. We're at the place where it's all coming to a final end. We're at the place where the scriptures have unfolded almost to its entirety. One of the only things left is for Satan to be bound up and cast into heaven, into hell, not from heaven, cast into hell. And for the church to be raptured. And then the tribulation of the church, the tribulation of the world, and the return of Jesus. The rapture and the return of Jesus are not the same thing. Because when the rapture happens, the Lord will step out on a cloud, just like he left. He won't put foot on the earth. He'll be in the clouds. But when he returns with the armies of heaven, which will be 7 years later, he'll return with the armies of heaven to come and defeat Gog and Magog. He'll bring all the armies of heaven with him. He'll touch ground then. But by that time, we'll be in heaven. Those of us whose hearts are ready. Those of us who are prepared. Saints of God, there's a passage in the story of Esther where she is told that she is in that place for such a time as this. She was there to save the Hebrews from mass annihilation, from mass murder. Today the Lord wants me to bring this message to you and say to you, you're in this place for such a time as this. You're here today not by accident. You're here today to be a part of the last day's warriors. You're here today because God has ordained you to be a part of this ministry to go forward. And a couple of years ago, I was begging people to step up and take leadership and to help me pull things off in this church. But now, people are stepping up and helping do the work. And I'm praising God for that. Because I was getting so worn out, I didn't know if I was going to be able to keep it going. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Saints of God, we're at the end of this thing. We're just waiting now. People are looking for signs. The signs have come. The signs are here. I'm not looking for signs anymore. I'm listening for the trumpet. I got lost loved ones that I want to see come to Jesus. And they're teetering on the brink. Let me tell you, they're teetering on the brink. And I'm praising God for it. Some of them are straying away from God further and further. But others are drawing closer. And I'm going to fight like a mad dog to get them to heaven because I can't stand the thoughts of them that I love going to hell. And I can't stand the thoughts of any of you going to hell. Because I love you. I care about what happens to you. I care about where you will spend eternity. It's just like the word says that Jesus came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And last Sunday I preached a message that said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. While my heart and my anointing is nowhere near what the Lord's is, he has also put that burden upon me. My single most powerful reason to exist is to see to it that I bring all my energies to bear, all the gifts and all the talents that the Lord has given me, that I use them in a way that I would minister the gospel such that all those that I come into contact with, all of you, would be in heaven when I get there. I want to see you when I get there. Because the problem is, if I don't see you when you get there, I won't remember who you are. Because the Bible says there'll be no tears or sorrow in heaven. And I won't be able to be in heaven knowing that any one of you is not there and not have tears or sorrow. Because I can't stand the thoughts of any of you burning in hell, burning in hell forever. And I'm going to do everything I can to get you to heaven. Don't y'all want to let's go party together in heaven? Don't y'all want to just get together and celebrate at the feet of Jesus together for eternity? Never suffering again. Never being hungry again. Never having any more pain or tears or sorrow again. But forever rejoicing in the glory of God. There's a lot of people that would say, well, that sounds like a fairy tale, Pastor. You know what? It might sound like one. As a matter of fact, it sounds like a whole bunch of different fairy tales that I've heard over the years from very different other religions, but this is not a religion. This is a reality. And I have seen God do way too much He has spoken to me, and I have watched what he's spoken unfold as I spoke it. He has told me to go lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, and I've done it and watched it. I have watched miracle after miracle after miracle as God spoke to me, and he proved himself to me. And he had spoken things to me to say to people and told me what they would say. And it happened. You've come too late to tell this old fat preacher that it's a fairy tale. You could believe it if you want to. But I know, I don't believe, I know that there is a God. He is real. He loves you. He sent his son to die on the cross at Calvary to pay the price for your sin. Would you stand with me all over the house? My most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I have delivered my soul today of the burden you put upon my heart for this message, for this service. I thank you, dear God, for your divine anointing, and I thank you, dear God, for the peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. As I stand here and pray, the Lord showed me a Bible table that's sitting upon a communion table that holds the Bible open. But there's not a Bible sitting in it. There's a heart sitting in it. And as I was watching that heart, it cracked open. And purple blood began to pour out of the crack in that heart. Brother Mac, what is that? The communion table is the place where the Last Supper took place. And the Last Supper is communion. The bread represents the body of Christ, and the wine represents the blood which was shed for us. The Bible stand holding it open represents what is holding up the Word of God. And Jesus himself, according to the book of Mark, is the Word of God. And that heart is the heart of the Lord breaking. Because there will be people who are listening by radio, people who are watching on TV or on live stream, people who are sitting in this house who hear the word of reconciliation, who hear the word that God is calling to them, and they will break his heart by not coming to him. The purple blood, purple represents royalty. The color purple represents royalty. And the blood that poured from that heart is the royal blood of
Friends,
Jesus.
Friends, we always like to end our service, each service, with this sinner's prayer. And if you would repeat after me, we use the right hand and use each finger on the right hand to signify and to pray with each of these parts of this prayer. If you'll repeat after me, Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you're the Son of God. I know you died on the cross for my sin, and you were raised again on the third day. Come into my heart and forgive me, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for making me a Christian. In Jesus' name.
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kid Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.